The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
To infinity and beyond.
I just love finding new places to wear diamonds.
I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody.
There's no place like home.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
It is the time of week where we look back at another movie classic, and we are going back to 1980.
In future, Mr. Johnson, I'd like you to leave your ghetto blaster at home, please.
I'd have left it home if it wasn't so goddamn boring in here.
This is a classroom, Mr. Johnson. You're going to be in the same classroom for the next 4 years with your eyes open, your homework done, your pencils sharpened, and all food, cigarettes, and radios outside. Do you understand me? Why are you here, Mr. Johnson?
Because I was young and single and I loves to mingle.
Speak English.
Speak like I likes.
This is my homeroom. You'll speak as I like. I teach English. Now, if that's a foreign language, you're going to learn it. This is no Mickey Mouse school. You're not getting off easy because you're talented. You work twice as hard. Now, I don't care how well you dance or how many colored tutus you have. If you don't give your academic subjects equal time, you're out.
I have to say, that just absolutely encapsulates this movie in a single clip. Bill Hughes, you've outdone yourself by selecting that. Bill Hughes, behind the scenes is the name of this feature. You're a television producer at Mind the Gap Films, but we are talking about the 1980 classic Fame.
Yeah, and we're talking about it as a mark of respect for the late, great Alan Parker, who died last week, and he directed it. And people will say, oh, why didn't you choose The Commitments? Well, if I chose The Commitments, we'd have to give it an hour because everybody in Ireland was in The Commitments and you'd have to mention them all or everybody would be insulted. So I chose Fame because, to be fair, when Fame came out in 1980, I had just graduated from drama school in 1979. So it really meant something to me. And I was teaching a drama group, and I brought them all to see the movie because I said, this is what it's like in drama school, you know. And it really was. It just encapsulated it so well. And it did that because Alan Parker was such a committed filmmaker. And he moved into the High School for the Performing Arts, and he observed classes for months before he was happy with his script. So this is a real... it's just a beautiful film. When you look back on it, it spawned a TV series that was pretty atrocious and maudlin.
Yes.
And it spawned an appalling remake that came out, 13, 14 years ago, which was atrocious as well, even though it had a great cast. But the film itself, in its purity, and when Alan Parker looks back on it, and he said, you know, you think about, this is kids who want a life in entertainment. They want a life in theatre, and that has all become kids who just want to be famous because yes. of Pop Idol, because of X Factor. They just want the fast route to being famous, whereas Fame, the high school, shows the work that has to go in and that's expected if you want a career in the industry.
I mean, I watched a little bit of it yesterday just to remind myself, and one of the clips is a guy speaking to his girlfriend on the subway and he's saying, I want to be on the front of TV Guide. And it just shows you how quickly we have evolved, that that no longer would be the goal of these guys. They'd want to be a massive influencer on Instagram before they'd even celebrate anything resembling a bit of talent. The story of Fame came about because the guy called David De Silva went to Chorus in 76.
Yeah, and in the middle of one of my favourite songs from A Chorus Line, and I had gone to see A Chorus Line in 1976 as well, but I hadn't joined the dots. And there's a song about improvisations in boarding school, and the punchline is, but I felt nothing, because they're saying, be a tree, be an airplane, be a chocolate cake, whatever it is. And what did you feel? I felt nothing. And I went to the High School of Performing Arts, and this is what they did to me. And it was that little line that got David Da Silva thinking. And he flew down to Florida to Christopher Gore, the writer, and he paid him $5,000 to come up with a draft script. And Christopher Gore did. David Da Silva filled him in with loads of extra storylines that he wanted in it. And then David Da Silva took it to MGM Studios and sold the screenplay for $400,000. Now, that's some return on your investment.
Bill, I know you wouldn't get out of bed for that limited amount of investment, Bill, but it's not a bad return for most people. They had a natural backdrop for this in the form of the New York High School of Performing Arts, a real place. Did they shoot it there?
No, well, when the governors and the educational authority got a look at the script and realised that there was the suggestion of sex and drugs and rock and roll, and there was even a scene that suggested that somebody might have an abortion. And in 1979, when they were actually filming this, the Board of Education said, under no circumstances. However, they also were worried that if the kids from the school got into the film, that it would completely mess up their schoolwork. So Alan Parker made the very wise decision to shoot it in the summer, when it was downtime in the school, and they were allowed to use certain parts of the school, but they actually built sets in warehouses close to where the school was, and they were able to progress that way. So it was... like he auditioned everybody, and he had a team of casting directors with him, and they auditioned The World and His Mother. They had one open audition, and I remember those open auditions from my days on Pop Stars, and 2,000 showed up for an open audition because they auditioned everybody in the school, and only one person from the school made it in to the final. Now, some of the graduates of the school, only one made it into the film, but a bunch of graduates of this made it in. So the casting was quite extraordinary because it was a case of finding all these new talents. And these days, they'd think nothing of it, but in those days, that was kind of strange, you know. And particularly because Alan Parker was coming off such a hit as Midnight Express that was so dark and so violent. And here he was going to be doing a thing that it was just different, you know. It was different.
You've picked another clip from the movie. What have you chosen?
There's a great character in the film. Well, two great characters. One of them is Doris Finsecker, and Da Silva, the original sort of the guy who came up with the idea. His mental picture was that Doris Finsecker would be played by a young Barbra Streisand. And that's not what Alan Parker saw. And he instead hired a young Maureen Teefy, who was already an established actress with Irish descent. So here's Maureen Teefy as Doris Finsecker and her sidekick, Montgomery, Montgomery McNeil. And they are attempting to rehearse out in the snow a scene from a Russian classic.
Want to try this again, Doris? It sounds kind of phony.
No, I don't want to try this again, Doris.
But there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah, I know there's nothing wrong with me. That's what's wrong with me. Everybody else here is colorful or eccentric or charismatic, and I'm perfectly ordinary. My nose is ordinary, my body's ordinary. And my voice, it's
so good.
Yuck! I don't know why I'm here.
You want to be an actress?
Yeah, but actors and actresses are colorful, flamboyant beings. I'm about as flamboyant as a bagel.
Hi.
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 Some people like bagels.
Well, some people don't.
Some people are too old for you.
He smiles at me.
Smiles at everyone.
Yeah, but he winks, too.
I think it's a nervous habit.
He talks to me, often.
Really? What's he say?
Hi.
Oh, that's serious. Have you set the date?
It's quite slow when you listen to it, isn't it? I know the musical numbers are very upbeat, particularly the one we're going to talk about in just a minute, but there's real storytelling going on there.
There is real storytelling going on, and it's a much better film than people gave it credit for at the time, and I think it stands up to repeated viewing. And I also think that the awful TV series coloured people's perception of the original film. Because the original film... Oh, yeah. I mean, the original film ended up, you know, don't forget, it got an Oscar nomination for original screenplay. It actually got 6 Oscar nominations, you know, for best original screenplay, best film editing, best sound. And 2 of the songs got nominated and the score. And it ended up winning the best score Oscar, and one of the songs, Fame, the title song, got the Oscar as best song of that year. So, you know,
that was helped, Bill, by the fact that it was the big set piece number. I mean, every musical has to have a big set piece. And Fame was recorded in the middle of a street, fellas jumping up and down on top of taxis. If it was nowadays, Donald Trump would have had them arrested and called them terrorists, but it was okay in the 80s, as they say.
That was back in Mayor Koch's day, when New York was a different city. But the other thing about that is, when they filmed the scene of Fame, where they're all jumping about in the street and jumping up on taxis, they actually are jumping up and down and dancing to Donna Summer's Hot Stuff, because the song Fame at that point had not been written. So they were dancing to one thing, and then the song was written to the beat that they were dancing to, and the beat was Donna Summer's Hot Stuff. So that's actually quite funny for a post. And then it went on to win the Oscar as Best Song. Like Parker had worked with Giorgio Moroder on Midnight Express, and he went to him first and said, "Will you come on board?" And he, no. So then he went to Jeff Lynne, Electric Light Orchestra, and he said no. So the third choice was Michael Gore. Wasn't Michael Gore a lucky man?
Absolutely.
To be involved in such a thing.
And still famous for it today. Parker, though, look, again, he went over to New York. He had to deal with a whole load of union issues. He had to deal with the fact that they didn't want him to film in the actual school itself. It's almost a testament to the director that he stuck with it, because a lot of roadblocks were thrown up, weren't they?
When he looked back on it, he said it was quite a stressful and unhappy period, but he was so pleased with the outcome. You know, the work permits that were given weren't the work permits that he wanted. The cast objected to the methods of the cinematographer and the camera operator, because they were using European style lighting. They were using incense to get smoke effects and stuff. And the American actors were saying, absolutely not, you can't do that on set. So the edict was told, and they were told, we're halting the production, and they forbade Parker from using smoke on the set in future. And then also the dancers that were jumping on taxis decided this is dangerous, so they called a halt in the middle of that scene and wanted danger money and extra money for jumping up on the taxis. So he was just running into union problems throughout, whereas, you know, in hindsight, he said the happiest filming experience he had was when he came to Dublin to make The Commitments. That was the happy. He said he woke up each morning and could not wait to get to the set, because something wonderful was happening every day. Whereas in New York, now, to admittedly, that had been 20 years earlier at the time that he went, no, this is driving me crazy. Sorry, 10 years earlier. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, Bill, thank you for reminding me that there was a film before the terrible TV series, which for some reason is what scorched into my brain about Fame. And the little bit I watched, I enjoyed yesterday. We'll try and dig out the rest of it over the weekend. As always, Bill Hughes from Behind the Scenes Productions, thank you so much for joining us on the Pat Kelly Show.